The shutters are literally coming down in Dublin at the moment with the arrival in town of two key photography exhibitions. Ireland in Focus, photographing Ireland in the 1950s, is at the National Museum Collins Barracks, while the National Gallery of Ireland is hosting an exhibition of photography from the Bank of America collection. That collection is on a European tour and features over 100 works from the lenses of world-famous photographers such as Julia Margaret Cameron, Henri Cartier-Bresson, Dorothea Lange and many more. With me in studio is Sarah McAuliffe, who is one of the curators of the National Gallery exhibitions. It's quite extraordinary that these two national institutions would be giving us such a broad-based view of photography at the same time. Is there something in the air in the photography world, Sarah?
I think it's almost zeitgeisty a little bit. But I think Ireland's kind of coming to a point altogether where they're looking at photography as a medium in its own right and elevating it to a standard of an art form like all other kinds of art, whether it's painting, sculpture.
Do you think it's been lagging behind in that respect?
I think so, yeah. You know, I think, and that's just not here. That's everywhere, really. I mean, it didn't become an independent art form really in the US until the kind of early 40s and then really took off in the 60s. And then, you know, the UK were probably on par with them at the moment with the directions we're going in.
So the exhibition that's coming to the National Gallery where you're involved, obviously, we're talking about the Bank of America collection. How significant, how important a collection is that?
Yeah, it's a very significant collection because when it was created back in the late 60s, so between 68 and 69, this was at a time when photography was just about to take off as its own art form. And what it did was it set the groundwork for photographers working in that area for the future and internationally as well as nationally, because the founders, I suppose, of the collection, who were Nancy and Beaumont Newhall, weren't just looking at American photographers. They were going worldwide. So they were saying, oh, we need to sit down with Man Ray in Paris. You know, we'll offer him cash for his photographs. We'll take them back. You know, it was all very informal at that point. And so it really set the tone for different journals even to produce, like Aperture magazine came out. The first photography department devoted completely to the medium was opened in MoMA. Then you had an entire photography gallery in Rochester, New York, opened up with the George Eastman House. So it really did kind of set the tone.
And do we know where that interest is? Nancy and Beaumont, is that what you call
it? Nancy and Beaumont Newhall.
Do we know where their interest in photography came from? Why they were to the fore in pushing this into a new place?
Well, their whole careers were dedicated to photography. So Nancy came from a background about writing about art. So she was an art critic, but specialised in photography and would write texts for various photographers' photo books. And then Beaumont was the first ever photography curator in MoMA in New York. So they both had this background. They were very close to artists who were trying to do the same thing. And then Samuel Sachs, who was the president of the Exchange National Bank, which is the legacy bank of Bank of America, approached them because he said they would be the two people that would lead that.
So he was the money man and they were the curators of the collection.
But he even collected his very first photograph at 16 years old. So, you know, he had a real strong love for it as well.
Right. So it wasn't just, here's the money, off you go and do something for us.
Yeah, exactly.
100 works are what's involved and what's coming to the gallery.
Exactly.
And is that a selection from the overall Bank of America? And did you go about selecting this in a fashion that tells a story? And if so, what kind of story did you want to tell?
Yeah, so I suppose the exhibition itself was 250 works from about 1,500. And that was selected by the Museum of Photographic Arts in San Diego. And then when it was sent to us, we went through the photographs and we saw that there was a number of different themes overlapping. And so we recurated the show, I suppose.
So you took 100 from the 250 and kind of looked at telling a different story, perhaps.
Exactly. So, I mean, what MOPA were doing, we're looking at Chicago-based photographers, the history of photography, but we're pulling out more themes, whether it's people, nature, urban, and they overlap completely. But I think we're trying to do what the Newhalls did and really just make our photography and independent art form through this exhibition.
And you're spreading it over five rooms in the gallery. Five rooms, five themes, I guess.
Exactly. This is it, yeah.
But in some ways, the first room in the exhibition is a kind of a a potted history, if you like, of photography from the late, as we're talking, the late 19th century, really, when things kicked in.
Exactly. So you're looking at works from the 1800s by William Henry Fox Talbot, which many people will know, and he was kind of the forerunners of photography, and it goes right up to
and
the
1960s. What were the nature of the type of photographs that he was taking?
So he would be kind of working with more of the calotype process. So you're not necessarily working with a camera as such, but you're almost using a plate that's etched. You expose it to light and you're left with your kind of print then on a, almost kind of a copper plate as opposed to the kind of mechanisms we
have
today.
So it's kind of halfway towards photography,
exactly.
But not
they're
quite
working
there.
Their way up. It's more scientific at that point.
And at what point would you say photography happened, if you like?
Yeah, I mean, I think that kind of printing method that we're all familiar with comes in the early 1900s.
So it's that quick after?
It's that quick. So you're working with kind of albumen prints at that stage, where albumen obviously comes from egg whites and that's used on the paper to sensitize it. But those are actual, you know, handheld prints as such.
One of the artists that we see in the second room, I want to talk, is it Steichen? Is that how I say it?
Edward Steichen.
I suppose the famous portrait here, really, because you're talking about people when we get
exactly,
into this second
people,
room.
Yeah.
And for the most part, we're talking portraiture and portraiture of well-known figures.
Very much so.
That's what you went to look for.
Yeah.
Greta Garbo is the big Edward Steichen picture that you have.
And this is an interesting picture because I actually recently learned the backstory to it. So he shot her for Vanity Fair, and this was one of the photographs from there. So in 1928.
It's quite a famous photograph, isn't it? With her hands up, kind of over her ears at the back of her head.
Exactly. And what's interesting is that was the hairdo she had in the movie she was filming at the time. Now, I don't know what movie that was, unfortunately.
You beat me to ask.
But when she came into the studio to be shot by him, she let her hair down natural. And he said, it's way too fuzzy. There's too much going on. Put your hands back, slick it back. And I want to do the hairdo from the movie. And as she flipped her hair back, she said, oh my God, this terrible hair. And he said in that moment, she came out and she was the woman that he wanted her to be, because many say that he wasn't satisfied with photographing people as how they looked, but how he wanted them to look.
And interesting that you use that phrase, in that moment. I don't know if that's
exact phrase.
Yeah,
becoming
but I don't know if that's his exact phrase as well, but there is a moment in photography. I suppose when we get into to room three, which is more of a documentary place, here we're talking about, I think I can't remember the exact phrase that Henri Cartier-Bresson had around the moment, but he talked about a very specific moment in the taking of a photograph. What did he mean by that?
A decisive moment was these kind of chance moments, I'd say, that you would happen upon. So I think one of his most famous images that many people would know is a man hopping over a puddle in Paris, and he captures his reflection in the puddle. And that is a decisive moment when the photographer says, I need to photograph this shot. This is what will stand out to people. Now, that's part of his photography career. I think quite early on in the works that we have, for instance, when he comes to Spain.
Yeah, just because the works that you have in the gallery are mostly relating to the time in Spain, are they?
Exactly, yeah. In the early to mid 1930s. And again, they're quite decisive moment in that you know, he has these children that are captured in shadows and the light just hits the right way. And then you look at the photographs in the museum, for example, of Ireland, and they're very interesting. For instance, you know, layers of people with binoculars watching the races in Thurles. And that's just gorgeous.
But just sticking with the Spanish stuff for the moment, he's there at very important moments. 1930s, we're talking about Civil War Spain.
Exactly.
How documentary is the work in this case?
It veers away from going into that field, really. So in the photographs that we have anyways, he's particularly looking at children. So there's a moment where he captures children playing in the street, but when you look closely at the image, it's actually under a ruined building. So we wonder, has it recently been bombed? But there's a signal of hope there with the children still playing with each other.
And you touched on the fact there, and I mentioned in my introduction that Ireland in Focus, Photographing Ireland in the 1950s, is running at the National Museum at the moment, or which is practically concurrently.
Yeah.
Cartier-Bresson came to Ireland in the 1950s a couple of times, I think.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So he photographed in different areas in Ireland during the 1950s, but again, I think was really taken by horses and by racing. So we see a lot of either horses or people working in that industry in his photographs.
And religion, I think, played a big part in the sort of photographs he was taking at that time too.
Yeah, there's a beautiful one, I think, of a nun in Stephen's Green as well. So, you know, he's touching on various tones, but I we still are digging into that area of his career.
I know there was another one I saw. There was an article about the exhibition in the museum in the Irish Times, and it has this. They talk about it was a Corpus Christi procession, and they talk about the priest is pushing the procession rather than leading the procession because he's at the very back of it. Just the nature of that. Yeah. But going back to your own exhibition at the National Gallery, Dorothea Lange. Yes. How important is she, and where does she fit in?
Yeah, she's again one of the forerunners, I suppose, of 20th century documentary photography when it was kind of, you know, separated with that title with photojournalism. So she worked for the Farm Security Administration in the US, which was documenting, you know, migrant workers during a Depression era. And everybody will know her migrant mother, for example. But she also, and I think one of the most important photographs in our show and in that room in particular, she documented Japanese American internment into relocation camps during World War II.
The picture that jumps out, and I think the one you probably want to talk about, is One Nation Indivisible, taken in 1942. Maybe describe the image to us first of all.
So in this photograph, we're looking at primary school age children that are all gathered together to say the Pledge of Allegiance, and often you hold your right hand over your heart during this. Mm. But little do we know, there's a lot of innocence. They're all looking upwards, likely at the American flag, and only a few days later would them and their families actually be taken away to relocation camps. So there's this, you know, jarring kind of tension between the innocence and the harsh reality.
There's a terrible sadness in the young girl's face as well when you look at it closely. I'm only looking at a small reproduction. I'd love to see it in its full size. Yes. I presume you can see a lot more in the bigger production.
You can.
How big are they? Generally quite big photographs we're talking about.
It's actually quite funny. You'd be surprised. A lot of them are quite small. Hmm. Yeah. So when we come to the Robert Franks, the Dorothea Langs, the Cartier-Bresson's, they're quite large.
Yeah.
But when you look at the 19th century works, they're quite small and detailed. And you'll have to look at them closely, but they're all hung at a nice level. So.
And I guess in the cases of the last two rooms in your exhibition, four and five, we're kind of doing urban and rural, if you like.
Exactly.
I'm particularly taken by the Ansel Adams, very famous type of images, really. You are talking about the American environment. That's what's being photographed here.
Exactly. So he was an artist and an activist. So through his photographs, he wanted to raise awareness about environmental issues. And he famously said that, you know, we cannot repurchase nature at any price. So he was trying to foreground the preciousness of it.
And when was he saying that?
He was saying that very early on in the 20th century. And here we are now. But
just one on you mentioned Man Ray at the beginning.
And
this can kind of takes us back there if you explain to me what the untitled rheographs are.
Yes, so these again are cameraless photography. So he would take a photosensitive piece of paper, lay down any object on it, whether it was, you know, kind of a mannequin piece or a wire, scissors, and then you expose light to it from a single source, and that leaves you with your image on the paper then.
It sounds as if you have such a passion for photography. Has it developed in a way that you like, or do you have a yearning for the old pure methods?
No, it has definitely. I think this turn back to analog photography nowadays is really brilliant. I'm glad that that's happening again, and I think we can credit that to the amount of photography shows that we have in Ireland at the moment.
So the digital world has led us back to the analog world.
Yes, very much so.
Okay, well, it sounds like a very interesting exhibition, indeed interesting sets of exhibitions. Photography from the Bank of America collection opens on Friday and runs until March the 22nd at the National Gallery. That's nationalgallery.ie. And the other exhibition we touched on there, Ireland in Focus, Photographing Ireland in the 1950s, is at the Museum of Ireland, the National Museum, Collins Barracks. It's there until April, museum.ie.